Trying to think who we're missing. Oh, it's Lee, right? Mm-hmm. Lee, you have been with the city. Okay. And is that it? Let's see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. All right, we'll go ahead and get started and call the meeting to order. Welcome, everybody. We're excited to finally have a full, almost full commission. And I thought we could maybe start, since we do have some new members. I know in addition to Lee, I had also spoken, we might have Andrew Wing as another potential member that he thought he was going to be able to try to join the meeting today. But actually, Darby, would it be helpful to pause the share screen and keep our videos up? Because I thought we could do a quick couple of introductions so that everybody gets to know each other. So I'll just go ahead and start, and then I'll kind of go through the Zoom chat here and kind of call everybody out by who I see on the screen. But my name is Melanie Spring, and I'm the current chair for the JHPC. And I have been on the commission, I guess, for now for almost 3 years, almost 4 years. I'm an architect and an architectural historian, and I work for Domacher Architects here in town. And excited to get to know everybody here on the call, so I'll pass it on to Ellen, who's our vice chair.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the new folks. Obviously, I'm Ellen Harris. I'm the vice chair. I think that I am been on it for about 7 years because I filled out somebody's term, and I'm on my second term, so I'm on my way out in June. But I've been on for a long time and have been the chairman in the past and was on it also, 15 years ago. So long history. I'm a semi-retired architect. So you still have here as architects here in town.
All right, John, how about you?
I'll introduce myself. My name's John Corey. I am filling out somebody's partial term, I'm on a partial term, and I'll continue, in my first full term. I'm an architect. I have my own practice, and welcome all the new faces.
And Rebecca.
Well, hello. My name is Rebecca Sudiff. I've been on the JHPC for a while, and I think I may have done a stretch with the Ellen many, many moons ago. So, do you guys still see me?
Yes.
Okay, because my screen went real weird, and I can't see anybody, so I'm speaking in a blank screen. I am the curator of the Transylvania Heritage Museum, so I just basically love all things history. I've been involved with the Historical Society as well, so I don't know very much about architecture, which is why I'm so glad we have so many folks on here who can speak to that, but I can do some historic research when needed. So, welcome to all the new faces. I think you'll enjoy being on this committee.
Molly.
I'm Molly Jenkins, and I don't know, is everybody having trouble like I am? People are freezing and being dark and breaking up sound.
I'm not even seeing your faces. I'm seeing some kind of leader in marketing solutions ad on my screen.
Frozen screens and dark screens, and I don't know. But anyway, I am the owner of a historic home, and that's pretty much my claim to fame for this committee. But I am interested in historic preservation and have spent a lot of time preserving my own domicile, so have some experience in that regard.
All right, and we'll let the staff members go ahead and introduce themselves too, and then we'll get to our new members. You want to go ahead, Darby?
Hi, I'm Darby. I'm the one that's going to be emailing you a lot. I'm the county planner for Transylvania County. I've been with the county for a full year now. And so I'll be your kind of direct point for staff. If you have any questions, please email me or call me, and I'll try to answer them. If I can't, I'll reach out to Ms. Christy Brantley, who some of you who were on the call last meeting is the state representative for the State Historic Preservation Office. And I'll just let Alan introduce himself now.
Hey, can you hear me all right?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yes, I can.
I'm Alan McNeil. I'm your Transylvania County Planning Community Development Director. I have officially been under that title since the first of last month. I've been serving in the interim basis since June. I will be here to assist Darby however I can. Darby's your kind of your first line of defense on anything that we can help with this commission. But feel free to reach out to me if Darby's unavailable or if there's anything I can do for you. I'm happy to help. And I will be around. I won't be at all your meetings. I could be elsewhere. I may have to step out of this one as Darby's assisting you, and we don't currently have an admin assistant. So if someone comes in the door, I'm going to step out to assist him. But I'm looking forward to working all with you, and I'm very excited for the opportunity.
All right. Well, thank you. And Mercy.
Hey, I came back. Sorry, I had to leave. So I've been on the DHPC in the past, served two terms in the past, fairly recently. I guess I've been on maybe 2 years or something like that. Just retired from the library, from the local history room, and that's about it.
Okay, thank you. And Talamy.
Hi, nice to meet everyone. Nice to see faces, Darby. I'm kidding. My name is Talamy Bonds. I am a newbie here. Honestly, I don't know much about architecture, but I'm really big, have recently really gotten big into the history of the county and different places and different things. I actually had a family member reach out to me and ask if I would be interested, and it was really cool. It came at a great time. I'm not doing anything with COVID. I just got a new grandbaby. He's 9 months old, and expecting my second one in September. So now I'm just home right now with my grandbaby and my fur babies. Great to meet everyone. I'm excited to get started.
Mm-hmm. We're excited to have you guys. And Lee. Oh, you're on mute.
Hi. My name is Lee. I'm a planner with the City of Brevard. And I'm also a brand new member, and I, like Darby, have been in my position for just coming up on a year now. Really excited to be a part of the commission.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. We are excited because, as for the past couple of months, we have lost some members due to various issues, and so I think all of us on the board are very excited to have new members to help bring some new life and motivation and new ideas. And we've been kind of struggling as through COVID of trying to meet virtually and think about how we can still have an impact and move forward with the commission. So we're definitely excited to have new input. And we do still have one opening, so if you know anyone who's interested, please feel free to have them submit. As I did mention, there is someone who is interested, and I don't know, I need to follow up with him to see what the status of his application is. And he actually has more of a technical preservation background, so that would be another sort of strength to our commission if that comes about. But we are trying to have a wide and diverse representation of the county, the city, and the town of Rosamond. So, we always want to make sure that we're equally representing all of our communities and trying to find people who, have insight about the history and the people there, and, just make sure that we're, trying to include everyone as much as possible. So, appreciate taking the extra time for the introductions, and hopefully, we'll be able to hopefully start meeting again in person sooner rather than later once vaccines become available for everyone. So the first item for business is just the consent agenda.
and I guess Darby can bring that back on the screen. And so, you know, for that, we just had the agenda for today, as well as our, you know, minutes from the January 12th meeting, which for the new members, that January 12th meeting was more of a virtual presentation by the State Historic Preservation Office. So we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But just want to kind of get through our item of approving the agenda in minutes. So let's see if anyone makes a motion to approve.
Motion to approve the minutes or the agenda from the last meeting.
I'll second. All right, any comments or questions on or any modifications to the agenda or minutes? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
All right. And then, so the next item will be our presentation for a new member orientation. So I'll pass that on to Darby. Yep.
Sorry, needed to unmute myself. Give me 1 second. There we go. All right. So the kind of point of this is to some of you new members, just to kind of bring you and have a baseline or a 30,000-foot view of kind of what JHPC does, kind of where they get their marching orders or powers and responsibilities from, and kind of briefly go over what this board or commission has been doing this past kind of year. So first we're going to look at the kind of main functions of what a historic preservation commission does. Most of these four functions are based from North Carolina state statute. So in the state statute it lists these four functions as things that the Historic Preservation Commission kind of must do, those being recommending to the local governing board, which would be possibly the city council of Brevard, or the county commissioners, depending on where that landmark or property would be, or historic district. The third one talks about to approving and disapproving applications of property owners that are already either in that local historic district or that has a landmark already designated when they want to kind of make changes to the physical building on the outside. It's your kind of responsibility and power to make sure they don't change things that would hurt the kind of historical significance that that building or structure provides for the county or the city or the town of Rosman. The last one is to kind of help the county as well as the city and town of Rosman to plan preservation. So what kind of buildings should they be looking for to help preserve? What are ways for them to encourage property owners within their kind of city limits or town limits or within the county? This next slide kind of talks about where from the state statute what exactly it tells the commission to do. It says the commission can be composed of these members or this many members. It talks about, you know, what qualifications the state thinks that this type of commission should look for in its members, as well as, like I said, the powers and responsibilities. It talks about kind of procedures that the governing board, when they're looking at a historic application to be designated or historic district, what procedures they need to follow. So, like, every single governing board, every single local commission kind of has a baseline to follow. And it also kind of ensures compliance with the historic preservation ordinance that the county has, as well as the city of Brevard. It's your job to make sure that the property owners are following that, and when they're not, to kind of reach out to them and correct them. And in some cases, we'll to kind of possibly take away or take them off of that local designation program or historic district program because they're not following the rules. This talks about the Transylvania County's historic Preservation Commission ordinance. This is kind of a baseline ordinance that we have. These five functions, it lists exactly everything in the ordinance. Again, the purpose and composition, which we'll talk more about later on. The powers and responsibilities, which will be the next slide. The criteria and procedures for designated landmarks and districts. Number three and four, the procedures for reviewing proposed changes, mostly that comes directly from the state statute. There are some commissions, maybe in Henderson County or Hendersonville, that might have a couple things different than what we do. They're allowed to do that, but mostly the basic functions are the same. And number five, exterior features. That's a main example that Ms. Brantley talked about. Some other commissions might look at exterior features a little bit more closely than what we have laid out in our ordinance, and that's just kind of what their commission decided. So the powers and responsibilities that the Joint Historic Preservation Commission, or JHPC, has is the upkeep of inventory of properties. This is a list of all the properties within the county, city of Brevard, or Rosman that this commission has deemed important, historically significant. They could be already listed as a landmark, or possible properties or structures that they think that should. And other properties that have been listed for the National Registry list. They also prepare investigative reports on the significance if a property applies to be historically designated locally. This commission creates a report to send to the governing board, as well to send to possibly the State Historic Preservation Office if they want to, just to kind of say, this is what we found, this is why we believe it's historically significant or should be considered, or this is all the stuff we found and this is why we don't think it should. They recommend designating, like I just said, landmarks, or the revocation of landmarks and districts. They also review and act on proposals for alteration, relocation, or demolition of landmarks. This would be considered the certificate of appropriateness application that you will hear about once we get one. You make sure that, one, they're following the rules. If they're changing certain materials for a specific house, they're using materials that would keep that house historically significant still. Would be an example. You have the power to slow down demolitions of certain historical landmarks. You do not, though, have the power to completely stop it. That's what the fourth, or the kind of second to last bullet point talks about, when it says negotiate with property owners who propose to demolish. And hopefully having this laid out, it allows you to possibly convince the property owner to not demolish and to look for other options. The last bullet point for this, institute action to prevent, restrain, correct, or abate violations. Again, you're kind of the police force behind historic preservation when they are in the local designation landmark program for us, to make sure they're following the rules, and to make sure that the property owners understand what those rules are as well. So this is kind of all the bylaws, all the articles that are in it. I'm only going to go over the ones that are bold. I can go over the other ones too later on. Just let me know, and I can put that on an agenda, or let Melanie know, and she'll inform me to put that on an upcoming agenda, and I can do that. So the first article I'm going to talk about is Article 3 and its membership. Like I said, this board, like Melanie talked about, consists of 9 members. We do have 1 vacancy. This number comes from state statute. It doesn't say all members have to be, or all commissions have to be made up of only 9 members. It's a variation. It's like 9 members to 12, I believe. That number could be incorrect, but it's roughly around that number. like Melanie kind of said too, you kind of need representation of all throughout the county. So members from the county, at least one member from Rosman, and at least one member from the city of Brevard, since it's a joint historic preservation commission. So the members should, this is kind of the composition and what qualifications, this next bullet point is talking about. Members should show an interest or have education or experience in the professions that are listed below. You don't have to have that education or experience. That's where that interest piece comes from, because like you see at the end, it has that if available. It's understandable that it's very difficult to have all members from each one of these professions, or at least all members be at least from one. So that's where that interest piece comes in. Each one of you has a 3-year term. As some of you said, you can only have 2 consecutive terms back to back. After that, you will have to wait for at least a calendar year before you can apply to be a part of the commission again if you want to. And if a member misses more than 3 consecutive regular meetings or more than half of the meetings, it does state in your bylaws that they shall resign or be taken off the commission. And I believe it also says that the chair must be the one that takes that member off the commission or at least puts it up to a vote. I believe that 3 consecutive regular meetings, I think that would be more so, my interpretation would be for unexcused absences, because stuff happens, and it's sometimes difficult to be to every meeting. So the next slide is going to be talking about the officers on JHPC. All 3 of them introduced themselves. To be appointed or elected to that position, you just need to be voted in by your fellow commission members at the beginning of every year. Our kind of calendar follows the local government fiscal year, which starts in July and ends in June. So this July, we will be voting on a different chair or the same chair, different vice chair, same chair, different secretary, same chair, and they all serve at least 1 term. So next kind of talks about what each of those positions, what kind of their duties and roles are, and then just general member information. So the chair presides over the meeting. That's what Melanie has been doing. The vice chair can do that as well if the chair is not present, or if the chair just delegates that role to the vice chair. The vice chair is also over the kind of financial records for the JHCP, and they can read that into the minutes when asked by a fellow member. So the secretary is over the meeting minutes, the distribution, as well as the recording of those, and they are also involved or supposed to be in charge of the public notice staff, as in me, technically, is the one that's kind of taking that over. But as John knows, I'm more than willing to send that the meeting minutes after I finish them to him for him to review and to put edits in if he wants any. Next one, officers shall prepare and submit an annual report. That is presented to the county commissioners. We also present that to the city council of Brevard as well. The next slide shows a kind of conflict of interest policy that's embedded in the bylaws. You can read that. And the next one, it talks about how members who are voting on an application, such as a landmark designation application, who weren't present at the previous meeting, and when the deliberation started, they cannot vote on that application if they are present for the next. So, give me 1 minute. All right. So, kind of the last part of this, members who want to talk to applicants who have put in a landmark designation application, if they're not asking for just more information from that applicant, has to notify the chair to get permission. For that piece, I would just also ask just to make sure that staff is also in the know if you do want to make that request, just in case if the applicant reaches out to us and asks us questions, just so we know that it might be coming after you ask them whatever questions that may be. So the next article talks about kind of meetings, what a quorum is, and kind of what should be in the minutes. As you can see, the commission decides what time they want to meet. The chair can cancel a meeting within 24 hours, as well as call a special meeting within 48 hours, as long as each commission member is notified, as well as the public. A quorum is when a majority is present that's currently on the board. So currently, you would at least need to have 5 people to start a meeting and to hold business out of 8 people. And the last, the commission must keep permanent minutes, and this article also lays out what exactly needs to be in those minutes. So the kind of next to last slide, the State Historic Preservation Office has a training or a conference training each year. We are considered a certified local government, and to kind of keep that title, which allows us to look at different grants and stuff like that, we have to keep training up, especially for making sure our commissioners are trained. So at least 2 members, I believe it was Melanie and John, volunteered along as with me, watched a couple videos and kind of sent summaries back to SHPO over the summer. This is really, really cool because a lot of the videos are up on YouTube. This link's right here. It's very informative. I kind of pushed a lot of members to try to watch that second training video, which is called the Local Preservation Enabling Legislation video, because it talks about, one, where all of the kinds of the rules and powers and responsibilities are laid out in the statutes, where those statutes are. It also explains what 160D is, which I'll have a brief kind of explanation of that on the next slide, and kind of just helps answer a lot of possible questions of, like, what does HPCs do? So I really push everyone to kind of check that out. For those of you who have been on here, it's a really good refresher. She explains it very well, the person who's in charge of that kind of portion of that video. So it's really good for you to check it out. So I just talked about 160D, what that is. It's a state statute chapter for North Carolina that was passed in 2019, Chapter 160D. What it does is it takes all land management and development ordinances, so pretty much most of what ordinances that the planning department has to deal with, and it kind of puts them in one place. The county's kind of rules and the city's rules and ordinances were kind of in 2 different places, and what it did is it brought them together and put them in one place. It shored up some definitions and clarified some things. Lee's co-worker actually presented to you guys, I think, earlier in June or August, kind of what they did for their, I believe, UDO, for the City of Brevard's development ordinances. And so kind of what only changed in that was references from, like, 153A or 160 whatever to 160D. The most important part that you guys should know is it changed the word guidelines in the ordinance to standards. And the reason that was given that I remember was that they believed that the word standard made it sound like the property owner had to do it, and guidelines seemed more of a suggestion, which it was not. In the last, you see, they also asked for a mandatory conflict of interest policy. This is not word for word what would be put into the ordinance, but they want every single ordinance that kind of attaches itself to a citizen advisory committee, which you are, to be in that ordinance. And the last, real quick, slide is kind of the goals that this commission kind of has been striving to do, especially this year, if not beyond this year. The last 2 kind of goals were met, or at least half met, last meeting when we had Ms. Brantley come and talk about what exactly the local landmark designation process is, what the state's looking for, what we should be looking for, because we want to have stronger applicants to apply to our program to make it easier so when the commission goes to whatever governing board that property is in to say this meets historical significance or this meets this right here and this is why. We are reviewing the 2017 strategic plan goals, which is now called the 2021, which we'll talk about in just a second when Melanie takes over. And also Melanie has kind of pushed and taken charge with trying to take the Walking Around the World report, which was that African-American, I believe, architectural survey that happened in the county a couple years ago that the JHCP kind of overviewed a little bit here and there, and trying to make it more accessible for the community other than just the library, trying to think of new ways to kind of get the community excited about what came out of that report. But that's all for me.
And just to follow up on a couple of those points as we're looking at this slide, you mentioned early on the inventory. And so one of the things that we've been working on and we'll make sure we send out to all the new members is that, the inventory was really done back in the 90s, and that kind of stopped at, everything it becomes historic once it's at least 50 years old. So when the survey was done, it didn't look at anything past or that, it could be younger than that. So now, it's really been almost 30 years since our last countywide survey was completed, except for the, African-American resources, which were surveyed, I guess it's been about 2 years ago now. And so I've had some communication. I know Darby has talked with the State Historic Preservation Office. And so, and Marcy was, and Rebecca were both really involved in the survey, of the African-American resources. And so, we had a list of the old resources that documented, which ones had been surveyed and which ones were eligible for listing or were local landmarks and all those different categories. But we don't have a very comprehensive inventory right now. So, and last time I had spoken to our Annie McDonald, who's the western part of the state, sort of representative for some of the preservation and surveys, she said that a lot of the documentation that was done during the Walking Around the World report, all of those properties that were surveyed, they are in the process of digitizing that. So, the state has a very comprehensive, process and, goal of digitizing all of the survey across the state. And you can actually go on their website and they have a GIS map, and you can go to Transylvania County and you can see, every building or every property that's been surveyed and, download information. And so, we're kind of in the process of trying to, pull all that information together. And then, we've also kind of been looking at, well, if we want to come up with a list of new properties that are becoming of age that we want to look at, particularly mid-century age buildings and properties, we need to come up with our own list to then kind of go back to the state to help find ways that we can get funding and assistance from them to do a more comprehensive survey of some of these newer properties. So that's kind of something that's in process and is going to be pulling a lot of pieces together. But that, I think, the Walking Around the World report is on our website. We want to make sure everyone is, familiar with that. And where that kind of left off, just so everyone knows, is that I think it was, last May with Preservation Month, we were trying to have another presentation to the community. And, with the pandemic, a lot of those things have been kind of postponed and canceled. And so we have had a few conversations with the community trying to think of ways that, we can kind of continue that rather than just having the survey to make that, maybe we can help find ways to help fund, development of a book or, integrate that information into, resources for schools or the different community or how we can come up with lesson plans. But that's kind of been stalled as we're trying to set up meetings and get people together. But hopefully in the next few months, we can kind of, revisit that. Now we have more members on the commission that we can help kind of break out almost like subcommittees to kind of take on all of these activities. But does anybody have any questions before we kind of go on? I know it's a lot of information. Darby just went through. And hopefully, does everybody have their binders? Is there a way to pick those up? Okay. So I do think it is really important to kind of go through and read a lot of that information. And as we start to go through it, you know, obviously there will be questions. And, you know, we're definitely happy to set up some, you know, if we don't want to do a formal meeting, if we want to do some more formal, I'm sorry, informal kind of groups, you know, with either meetings, you know, with like Ellen or myself, or, you know, we're happy to kind of talk through any questions that you have, and we can maybe get smaller groups together if we wanted to talk through it that way. But there is a lot of information there. And I would sort of echo Darby's comments about looking at the videos. You know, some of those videos, when you go to them, are 20 minutes long, and some are closer to an hour. You know, I think just kind of going through and looking at them, and, you know, I think they're all very relevant and are going to help us as we move forward, you know, with some of the local designations that we think might be coming up as we'll begin to submit some of those applications based on some of the information that we're, you know, receiving and kind of talking to the different property owners about. So I guess, Darby, if you want to kind of move on to the next slide. The next item is the strategic plan goals, and I'm actually going to let John talk about that because he kind of took the lead on our end of, you know, the goals were developed a few years ago, and we were trying to update them and make them, you know, a little more relevant for where we are now. So I'll let him kind of lead into that discussion. I believe everybody should have a copy of that. I don't know, Darby, if you have the copy of that file available to put on the screen, or is it just this slide?
I do have a copy to show everyone. Hold on 1 second.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, John.
Okay. Yeah, so the review of this, this is, and, you know, that was a good review, Darby. Thank you very much. And I think that you'll see when we, you know, when we go over our priorities and our responsibilities, obviously there's going to be some overlap, a lot of overlap in our strategic plan. Okay, hold on, I've got, all right. Okay, I had it pulled up on my screen, so now that it's on Darby's, here we go. So, you know, we took a stab at revising this, making it a little bit better of a, or a little bit more usable of a document. Our strategic plan initiatives actually mirror our responsibilities. So inventory, as we were talking about, keeping an inventory of the designated historical stock and the potential historical stock. And we've broken these down into short-term goals and kind of ongoing goals that, you know, just always, they're always there. I think the point of the ongoing goals is that they never really go away, but the short-term goals, those might change over time, and the action items associated with each of those categories also might change as we as we accomplish things. So we've got the actually, Darby, if you could hand me back over there. So we've got the inventory portion of it, and I think that Ellen, you've been updating that inventory designation, so that, you know, inventorying is the first step before designating. Let's see. I don't know if we have, I think Melanie, and I don't know if we're actually, there are specific things that we're doing, but I don't know for the purposes of this discussion that we really need to go over where, if there's anything that we're working on, any of these specifically. I think Melanie, there was a memo sent out to a potential property. You know, I don't know if we've gotten any feedback from that. Partnerships. I guess my question is, how much of this should we go over? Should I just kind of go over the general categories, or is this for informational for the new people on the board, or how would you, I don't want to bore you with just basically reading it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's informational, and I think, you know, we have an action. We need to approve it. We have not, we kind of talked about it and made edits, and so at some point we need to, you know, make a motion and approve it. I don't know with new members if everyone's had a chance to read it ahead of time, and if everybody feels comfortable, you know, kind of with where this is, if we feel like we're confident, we can go ahead and approve it. But
I'll just walk through the general initiative. So partnerships, that would be working with local and even regional organizations for education and advocacy for preservation. Stewardship, another initiative, and that's basically maintaining what we already have. And also, I guess, part of the more mechanical part of what we do, which is reviewing applications and issuing certificates of appropriateness. Housekeeping, again, this is kind of more of an inventory kind of thing, and actually internally with our organization, keeping up to date. And I do, for the new members, I know this will be the third person to say that those training videos are helpful. I haven't been on this, I haven't been with this board very long, but watching those videos, at least half of those was I thought really informational. The first one is a good survey, and then the second one is, the first one being a survey of buildings, and the second one was really kind of getting into the more technical steps. And a lot of what Ms. Brantley went over last meeting was some of that same information. So the next initiative, which we've addressed this for this meeting and the next year, is membership. So identifying members of the community and having everybody represented, or as many of the areas represented. Advocacy, you know, being somebody who actually takes a position on the historical preservation and maintenance and significance and importance of these places, these buildings, and these spaces. And then education. So there's a couple, as we've heard, there's a couple programs of that we've been working on, and I think Walking the World is one of those, but keeping our materials available and accessible, and even finding new ways to get that information out. And I think as far as you know, the acceptance of these, as I mentioned, the items in the blue columns are probably going to be they should be changing more, you know, every year, probably annually. Maybe we revisit these, but the white columns, you know, those are pretty consistent. Those should be consistent.
So I guess if we want to entertain a motion to kind of open up discussion on what these specific items are and possibly approve or disapprove.
I mean, I guess the question is, has everybody reviewed this? I know we reviewed this a couple, you know, I think we've reviewed it twice now in these meetings. So I guess, is there a show of hands of whether we've reviewed these or not? I mean, I think
we need to make a motion to we need to make a motion to approve it, so then we can discuss it.
Right.
But we need to do. So I move that this document, I can't see the name, the strategic. The 2021
plan. I'll second that.
All right, so any discussion on items, civic items outlined, or any modifications that you'd like to see, or questions?
Or, yeah, it could be questions if folks don't understand or something. I just want to say that this is something that we that was developed several years ago, and John's done a great job of taking it and revising it and getting it a little bit more organized. But we wanted to, it's great for us to have a plan that we can keep referring to. We were trying to format it as easily as possible, so it wasn't just a lot of text that was lost in paragraphs, that it was something that we could use as a working document. I think this is a big improvement over the first iteration that was adopted several years ago, and I think it's great because I think it's something we can use for years to come and just modify as we, you know, as we see fit, as things come up and new issues may come up as well.
I was just going to say, I can kind of see how the new folks might be a little overwhelmed with all of that and have not had a chance to really look at it. But for those of us who have been looking at it, I think it's, I agree with Ellen, it's a good document and we should move on.
I read over it prior to the meeting, and I think I like that the action items are something that can easily be like a checklist throughout the year.
Yeah, and I'll make the comment that maybe what we should do is establish some interval to review the action items and revise, either remove or add. Maybe that's an annual thing. I don't know, but it seems like, I mean, that's the intent of it, is that the thing, obviously the things in the green column, the white columns, those are fixed, the blue columns could technically even be part of a separate document, but it's nice to have them all right here because it keeps it front and center, keeps the, you know, the actual
items.
Yeah, those things front and center.
And if we're doing our jobs, that will change, which will happen, yes.
And I'm sorry, my audio went off. My computer froze. I had to change devices, so I missed a little bit of that. I don't know, did we vote on anything, or was it just we were asking if we had any questions? Because I did review this.
Just discussion.
Just discussion. Okay. We have not voted yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did you have any questions when you read through it?
This is basically because I think that you guys are saying this is what you guys came up with this. Just as a plan forward and the things that we're looking to do, that's what was said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the initiatives and the concepts were already established. This was a little bit massaged and reformatted to be a more useful and a kind of a living document that, you know, again, things in the blue columns will revisit and change after we accomplish thing, or as new opportunities or new ideas are introduced of how we can act.
I'm tracking now that my device is working.
All right, any other questions or comments? And I guess, you know, Molly, you mentioned, does it seem too overwhelming? I guess, do we feel like we can move forward with a vote, or does anyone not feel comfortable with that?
So it sounds like the new people have looked it over pretty well. So.
All right.
Good for them.
All right. Well, I guess, so the motion is to approve the 2021 Transylvania County JHPC strategic plan and objectives and goals. So all in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed? All right. Well, we have approved our strategic plan. Finally, after many months. So... looking forward to adjusting some of those goals and putting some more specific action items in there. So for the upcoming months. So, and I believe Darby is sharing the as I think John mentioned, you know, there is a more sort of staff-managed document that has more specific items that we would like to track so that we can assign tasks, and particularly, you know, as I mentioned before, if there's, if we want to develop sort of subcommittees or projects that we want to work on and have people assigned to them, you know, we can now kind of help keep everybody accountable and kind of track and make sure if we're getting things done or not, and rather than having them kind of linger on and on and on. So
and mostly what the document is I just combined a group of kind of what John has laid out into kind of more categories, and so we can track it throughout the year, as well as kind of I have a tab there for accomplishments as well, which we can kind of keep track of what we've done, which will be helpful for when we put together the annual report. So
all right, thank you, Darby. So I think before we head on to new business,
yeah,
there was an old business
item
on the discussion on the SHPO presentation. And, you know, we kind of talk a little bit about that. And so I think just for, you know, all of the new members, you know, last month we did invite, we sent out letters to potential or property owners of potentially eligible properties for local designation. And so we, you know, kind of started with a sort of small sort of first group of people that might be eligible based on if their properties were already listed on the National Register or, ones that the state through their surveys have done, because I guess through the Department of Transportation, a lot of times when these bigger projects are happening, you know, they are required through a state process to review properties. So there's been some studies that have been done on properties in Transylvania County where they have done more research and determined if a building is eligible for a listing on the National Register. So we had a few of those properties, and so we had sent letters out to those property owners as well as others that we don't know for sure if they're eligible, but they may be based on this, you know, their property being in the National Register districts. And so we had pretty good participation. We also had, the primary purpose was for training. And so I guess what we want to kind of talk a little bit about with this board members that were part of that, you know, does the training feel like, you know, that's kind of answered some of the questions we had? Because a lot of this was brought about by an application for a local designation for the old Brevard Fire Station, which is now the Drew Dean Gallery, but I guess that's closed now, but that property. And so, you know, we felt like we weren't sure if we had enough information to make that determination. And so I think since that meeting and presentation where, you know, we spoke with the person at the state to kind of give everybody an overview of the process, you know, we followed up with a lot of those property owners that attended the meeting and have interest in submitting their applications. And so we kind of have some that are working on getting their applications in, and we have some that are interested in learning more, but not quite yet, maybe later on down the road. And then we got some very specific questions. And so I guess there's a couple items. Some of the specific questions that we received from people that attended was really about, Darby touched on this a little bit briefly earlier, that if someone opts to become, you know, they become a local landmark, you know, can they kind of opt out? And I think what we determined was that once you're a landmark, you know, the only way to sort of opt out or to revoke that is through cause. And so someone can't just say, well, I no longer want to be a locally designated landmark property and I just want to take it out. They would have to you know, either try to demo the building or do something that, you know, did not get a certificate of appropriateness, and then we would have to take action to revoke their status. They can't just kind of simply say, I don't want to be a part of this anymore, and pay back their taxes, because, you know, one of their main incentives is getting a tax cut. They get 50% off their property taxes for this. So that was one big question. And I don't know, Darby, if you've had other questions from some of the other property owners that were interested that you want to mention. Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. But
you're fine. from what I remember, no, not necessarily. The only thing that sticks out in my mind, I did have a property owner ask, and I did rope you in on that to make for my response, was they were asking if there was a time limit or a deadline to kind of send everything to the state historic preservation office, so to Christie, and it, there's not. So that was the only other question that I can remember. Other than the one about the deferral for taxes, if you are in the city, it's both county and city taxes. But no, I don't believe there was anything else that I can remember right now.
Okay. And I, you know, I know one other kind of broad question that I'm not sure if we've kind of followed through with this, but you know, some of the buildings have multiple property owners, particularly downtown, and so I think, you know, there were some properties that they were interested in learning more, but you know, somebody else either owns the other half of the building, or it's split between upper floor or lower floor, and so you know, I think and I think, you know, Ellen, you can maybe correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I know we've talked about this before. Technically, the commission can designate local properties without the approval of, like, the property or the permission of the property owner. But in the past, we've kind of talked about it and said we are not going to necessarily try to move forward with designating local, doing local designation unless a property owner is interested and kind of willing to do that. We don't want to kind of force it on anyone who's not interested. And I, you know, I feel like that conversation has kind of been a few years ago, actually. But I think after sending out those letters, there is definitely some more interest with local property owners. And then I think the other question that we had, Darby, was that one of the questions revolved around, you know, if for some reason their status is revoked, do they have to pay back the taxes that they got the benefit from? And so in Christie's presentation, she mentioned that I believe the state statute said that they would have to pay back 3 years of the taxes, of tax deferral. So, and I know we said we were going to look into that to see if that was something that Transylvania County had also, you know, agreed to do, or if that was something that we didn't have the power to do. Do you know if that's been confirmed?
Since it, as Christie stated, it is state statute, so yeah, we would have to follow those rules. And I believe I did have a discussion with someone from the tax office, and it is the 3 year rule. So yeah,
3 years. Okay.
Well, it depends on. I mean, there's certain, if a property loses its historic value due to a storm, a fire, that's So then that's different than a property owner
got
alter their building so that it's lost its historic value. And that could, you know, losing your historic value could be replacing all the windows. Or it could mean, you know, tearing part of it down or all of it down. I mean, they're just not supposed to do that. So it just kind of depends on what the circumstances are.
Mm-hmm. So I guess one question I would have with all of the people that attended that presentation, do you feel that, you know, the information that was presented was sufficient enough, and that you feel that if we did receive applications and, you know, reports, that you would feel confident in being able to review and vote or to approve or not approve those based on the information that we have and the training we have? Or do you feel like we need more training, or, you know, do you have other questions based on what was discussed and presented?
I think that there's, I feel like I have enough to evaluate, but I do think that a continuing, again, like having a, I thought that was a great visit. So, I mean, if we have to have an annual, I would recommend having an annual session like that.
I thought it was very helpful too, but I can also see that, you know, probably every time something comes up, there'll be some part of it that we need to, figure out. So we will learn as we go, I'm sure.
Well, I think it's also, it's part of the presentation that it was an overview that's fairly basic. And there's a lot of details, you know, that are very specific to each and every application that we would be looking at. And make sure that we're making defensible decisions when we review things, but each one of them is going to be a little bit different.
And I just, I believe that, has that been uploaded to our website yet, Darby?
It has.
The video of that presentation? It has, okay. So that way, I think that's a good resource that, you know, one of our sort of goals and, you know, our stewardship responsibilities that if we do come across people in the community that are interested, you know, that we can help give them direction and point them to, you know, reviewing and watching that presentation online, and we can also be, you know, kind of knowledgeable and tell them about the process. So we want to make sure that we're all able to do that. And I think one of the other things that kind of came out of that meeting that I would like to kind of suggest we add to our agenda for next month, if everyone agrees, is that, you know, we had some discussion because, you know, as to what buildings are worthy of local landmark designation, just because it's historic, it's not. And so I think, you know, Christy Brantley really recommended that we think about what's important and what represents, you know, our community, because every community is different. So it's hard to look at samples of what other communities, you know, what their reports and what their local landmark designations look like and what standard they're kind of holding them to. We need to kind of think through what we're looking for and how we want to, you know, because we don't want to designate everything, you know, as being a local landmark, because then they start to lose their significance and importance. So I would like to add that as something that we all kind of think about, and then have a broader discussion next month if everyone agrees.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Okay.
I have one other. I want to ask about a property. The library, actually now the local history room is because they're having to be the COVID call center, so you can't go there and do any research or anything. But they had interest from a property owner, and I can't remember his name. That's probably no one. Two properties that he's interested in. My question is, I told Nikki, I said, you need to refer him to Darby and the JHPC and all of this. Not sure if that ever happened, so that's my question. He owns the Bryant House?
Yes, Paul Weilander, who also is Looking Glass Realty. And
Looking Glass Realty building. Yeah. So that's like Caddy Corner across the street from Melanie, where Melanie is, right?
Yes.
And also the Bryant House. And so, I mean, I've just been advising Nikki to tell him, who's been the library person working with him, to tell him he needs to talk to Darby. And
Miss Marcy, I had both Melanie and I have talked with him.
Oh, good, good.
And I actually had a meeting with him one morning just talking about designations, and his assistant, his name Hannah Bowers.
Yeah, Hannah that keeps reaching out to Nikki.
Yeah, right. And they also asked me for some references for people that professionally do mark listings, and I have replied to them. I copied Melanie. I've forgotten. Did I copy you, Darby? If I didn't, I should have.
Some of them you have, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You did?
Yeah.
I did?
Yeah.
Okay. So they have some names of people that are doing it.
Good.
But,
good.
Because I think it was, they were a little bit in over their heads as to, you know, what to do. So yes, we've been talking to them.
Right. I will assure Nikki that they have been working with them.
Yeah.
They also reached out to the city planning department. I wasn't the one who handled those calls, but I can move quickly to bring toward JHDC, but they have questions for the planning department as well.
Okay. Well, good to know. Yeah, I think a lot of people they probably have some issues if the library room is closed and you're not able to do research. So it might be that there won't quite be the run on local landmark designations in the upcoming months just yet that we were afraid of. So,
well, we hope we can get that resolved before too long.
But, okay, well, good. Yeah, that's great. It's
going to be a while yet, though. So.
Mm-hmm.
There's no access at all to anything that's up there right now. Is that what you're saying?
It would have to be. I mean, I could probably manage to sneak in there and get some stuff. And Nikki can help a little bit, but because they're having to answer those COVID calls, they're not able to do their job.
You're not even be able to pull a survey file on, probably.
Like I said, and remember, that stuff is all digitized. It's all on.
It's all on, yeah. Okay.
It's also all on digital NC. We sent everything, the notes, the little one-page report, all the photos, everything's on digital NC.
No, that's true. Okay.
So, and something like the Bryant House, we have additional stuff, materials. Yeah. That's an easy one.
Mm-hmm. And if folks don't know, the Bryant House is in the Railroad Avenue area. It's actually next door.
Right next door to the
boarding house for years. And so there's actually a lot of people that live there.
Well, and Martha J. Johnson, I don't know if any of you know Martha J. I know Rebecca does.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, she's the one who sold that house. It was in her family for 100 years or whatever.
Yeah.
And believe me, she would love to talk to you. Alan, you probably
That's right.
It's intact, too. You
know? Yeah.
The house itself is in good shape and has most of its original features. I actually walked through it.
And I have a bunch of pictures from right before Martha Gates sold it. She let me come down and take a whole bunch of pictures and give me
a tour
and stuff.
Okay. Well, we can pass on that information and let them know, to reach out to her. And hopefully that will help them get them on their way. I think since we're kind of running low on time and kind of past time, I just want to kind of bring this up briefly, and we can talk about it more at next month's meeting. But, you know, one of the things, and I actually just saw a message come from Clark Lovelace with Transylvania County Tourism. You know, we had developed a downtown walking historic brochure that, Marcy was very integral in, and that, you know, the Transylvania County Tourism had helped find funds to kind of take it from a, you know, kind of not so presentation worthy little document that we use for a specific tour for a specific group of people, but then also kind of make it look nice and have it available at the visitor center. And so one of the things we were looking at, you know, is that maybe if we don't have, there's not a lot of in-person things we can do. Is there something that we could do to expand that and include more buildings throughout downtown? And, you know, in the future, I've tried to see if they might have some funds that if we created the content that they could help, you know, fund the design of the expansion of that pamphlet. So I hopefully we'll have more that we can talk about more next month. And, you know, that kind of also led to, you know, are there other ways if we're thinking outside of downtown and we're thinking about tour for Transylvania County, sorry, not Brevard County, because it's on here, that, you know, we might, you know, if we have interest, are we looking at doing some driving tours that we could kind of, you know, highlight other areas of the county, and, you know, that might also be something that they would be interested in helping to fund potentially. So we can talk about this kind of as a bigger agenda item to kind of think about what other ways, you know, this kind of falls under just kind of education and advocacy and promoting, you know, preservation. So if everybody wants to kind of think about that for next month, so we can have a better discussion on that. And I guess on top of that, I would kind of add, you know, that May is Preservation Month. If there is something we can start thinking about now, you know, we obviously can't hold events or anything like that, but maybe we can think creatively and have a discussion next month about what we might do, you know, virtually, or, you know, how we might kind of promote that in the community. And then I think the next item, Starby, do you have anything for the staff report?
Yeah, I did. It's just two quick things. Here you go. We, like you said, we still have one vacancy board. I talked with Ms. Hogan. Trisha Hogan is the clerk to the Board of Commissioners. She said that that since Ms. Taylor was a resident of Pisco Forest, she looked some things up and said that to fill that vacancy for her term, we would need someone from Pisco Forest. I believe that's because of the Pisco Forest zoning community, or Pisco Forest community zoning ordinance, I apologize. Because of that, we need at least one representative from Pisco Forest. So that's why that vacancy wasn't one of the two or three appointees taken over, if that makes sense. And the last one is we're getting a new administrative assistant specialist. We hired, we had Ms. Kane for a little bit. We luckily have found someone to replace her after she left, I believe, in early December. We're really happy to have her come in. We'd love to welcome her to our new team. She'll be starting next Monday. You might not have a lot of contact with her, but maybe refer to her in case I'm out or Alan's out just for something. But she'll be probably the first person answering our phones if you don't call me or Alan directly. But like I said, we're super happy to have her, and hopefully we can get a lot more done with having a full staff here. But yeah, that's pretty much it for me.
I just want to add one other sort of board comment. So, and I just sent out letters, actually, I think this is one of the things of having people on various boards and doing different duties. I did send out some letters as a consultant for the City of Brevard. I sent letters to Darby and to Alan, and this is kind of in regard to advocacy for preservation. You know, the City of Brevard is undertaking sort of a redesign of the downtown master plan, and looking at streetscape and sort of redesign of, you know, the downtown area, primarily dealing with, you know, kind of sidewalks, roads, parking, you know, those kind of things on the streetscape. But just kind of also thinking a little broader. You know, in the past, it was really focused on Broad Street and Main Street. Now we're kind of looking a little bit bigger picture at some of the, you know, secondary streets that sort of connect all those. And so the city is involving, you know, public and, you know, community stakeholder engagement. You know, we're not doing a ton of that sort of kind of reaching out with sort of a virtual format of doing a virtual kickoff and then having people provide input through an online forum. And then we would invite representatives from the different stakeholders to attend some sessions at the preliminary master plan level to provide feedback. And so I guess I would ask if the JHPC has interest in participating and, you know, kind of providing thoughts about what we think preservation-mindedness, you know, and preservation-wise is important in the downtown master plan. So, Helen.
Yeah, I'd be happy to participate or review or input or appropriate.
So I guess we can forward that to you and kind of give you an overview. You know, my other question would be, you know, based on the timeline of what the city is trying to meet this sort of redesign and how that falls in with a potential larger grant application in the late spring, you know, we have a kind of a quick turnaround. And so would there be interest in, once this online form is developed and sent out, having calling a special meeting? I know everybody's tired of meetings, but, you know, would people be interested in calling a special meeting of the JHPC to discuss, you know, the importance of preservation and some key things you would like to see integrated into the downtown master plan?
That's
I think that's good, yeah.
Okay, I'm okay with that. All right, so we'll look at calling that special meeting through the proper channels, Darby, and setting a date for that. The feedback is due by, like, I think it's March 4th, and the kickoff meeting is going to be next Thursday from 5:30 to 7. That just is kind of an overview of the process and you know, how stakeholders are able to participate. So we can send that information out so we can, you know, hopefully come to some consensus as a group and submit that for consideration back to the city. So I apologize, it's almost 5:15. Are there any other comments from different board members? Or?
Yep.
All right. Well, I guess we will look for a motion to adjourn.
A motion to adjourn.
Second. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. Welcome to all our new members. We're excited to have you and look forward to seeing you at our next meeting, March 9th, 4 p.m. Thank you, Melanie.
Thank you.
All right, great. Good seeing you all. Yes. So long.
See you.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Hey, Darby.
Yep.
Before you go, sorry, did you get the...